This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Good afternoon. This is Mayor Bob Hedlund, Mayor of Weymouth, filling in for Grace. And I'm very disappointed that you guys couldn't invest in a little bit of a new intro for me, although I'm kind of identifying as something other than who I am today. So I guess that's okay. There we go. Little more appropriate intro for me. I really appreciate that.
Happy to help. Happy to have you.
Dogs of War by Saxon. Very underrated band, by the way. But happy to be in for Grace. I think she's attending a wedding of sorts. Clearly not hers. Congratulate her on her recent nuptials, and it's certainly not mine because I'm here. But great to be here. I used to do some fill-in work on WRKO, and I was at another station down further south on South Shore and did some work down there. But it's been a while, so I apologize if I'm a little rusty. I'm fighting a cough, and I want to assure Grace that I had a COVID test 48 hours ago. True story. So we will sanitize the microphones, Grace, anyway, if I if I end up coughing. Also recovering from a concussion, so I really appreciate these bright lights that you have in the studio here. To
nothing but the best.
I know. But with the help of the able-bodied producer Jared, we will get through the 3 hours, and we're going to have some fun in these 3 hours. For those of you that see me on camera, I'm wearing this shirt, and I know they don't have a dress code here, so I'm fine. Believe it or not, I'm a notch above the staff in the booth here, even with this long sleeve tee. But I did want to give a shout out for a longtime listener of the Howie Carr Show and the Howie Carr Radio Network, Rick from Cape Cod, who recently passed this week, untimely passing of him, a great American patriot. And I know that he has many friends that listen, so I'm happy to give him the shout out. We express our condolences to his wife, Linda. And I did receive the shirt from him. This is Riders of the Storm. This was lobbying day at the State House from the Mass Motorcycle Association, and Rick was a longtime activist with them, freedom fighter, patriot, and again, I know that he was a longtime listener of the Howie Carr Show and of the Grace Curley Show. We send our regards out to his friends and family, especially those that are listening. So it's really crept up on us, right? We got 9 days to go before Christmas. I procrastinate on Christmas shopping, as I do most things in life, as Jared knows from my entry into the studio today. But I'm trying to get in the Christmas spirit, and it's really hard.
I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers.
Yeah. Anyway, it's real hard to get in the Christmas spirit when you walk into work today in a t-shirt, given the weather. It's kind of the doldrums out there. You know, we haven't had much snow. Really not any in this area. It seems like a miserable kind of April day, really, in a way, with this weather. And we may hear from a weather guy, by the way, in the 2 o'clock hour, who may enlighten us on some of the tornadoes that have occurred. I call them hurricanes. I'm wondering if Biden made the same mistake on his tour of Kentucky. I made that mistake in talking to him. He reminded me of the tornadoes. But the weather, kind of the malaise that's out there, it's really hard to get into the Christmas spirit. And I do want to give a shout out. Merry Christmas, everybody. When I came into office as the mayor of Weymouth, people were treading lightly that first Christmas when I came in. And they were nervous to say Merry Christmas. And I put an edict out right away that it was okay to say Merry Christmas when you passed by me in the hallway. And a lot of people pulled me aside and said thank you. So I guess it was, I don't know if it was expressly verboten prior to that, but we worry too much about that politically correct greeting over the holiday season and the Christmas season But I have no problem saying Merry Christmas. And I guess one of my grievances is when I switch over from talk radio to the music side of the equation, you hear all these Christmas songs, and they do start too early in my mind, but you don't, on many stations, hear the great Christmas music that has religious overtones. It's all the secular stuff. And how much can you take of Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? I can't stand it. In the second hour today, at the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have a music expert, a really interesting guy by the name of Neil Ratner. You may know that name. Neil was a drummer, became involved in the touring side of the industry, has some great stories. He's written an incredible book called The Rock Doc. And yes, he's actually a doctor. He transitioned later in life and became a doctor, became an anesthesiologist. He set up clinics in Africa to help and treat folks in Africa and the bush. And he later became Michael Jackson's doctor, toured with Michael Jackson as his doctor. And no, he was not the guy that prescribed all that stuff to Michael Jackson. But we're going to hear from Neil, and he's going to help us disseminate some issues surrounding Christmas music. And I think it's timely that we have Neil on, because we're going to talk a little bit about Bruce Springsteen signing this mega deal, and I think Neil will be able to enlighten us on that. But more on that in a moment. Just again, my rant about it not feeling like Christmas. I haven't done any shopping, but I did venture out to, I won't name the department store, to buy my son a shirt. And I spent 2 hours and I found one shirt that fit him. He's almost 12 years old. A lot of empty shelves. Found a shirt, finally went up, and the line was incredibly long. Here we are, Christmas season. One guy working the checkout counters. And I don't know what was happening. There was a young lady up ahead of us, and her transaction took about 20 minutes. I think she was filling out the credit card thing and all of that. And people were basically dropping their items and saying, I can't take this anymore. I'm out of here. And we were having some fun waiting in line, me, the folks in front of me, and the woman behind me. And we decided when that transaction was finally completed, we all clapped. But I needed that shirt. I would have left, but I needed that shirt for an event with my son that was happening the next evening. But it's just a malaise out there, which is really putting a damper on the holiday spirit and the Christmas spirit. The next day, I go to my bank, and I pull into the drive-thru, and I like going in the lobby. I don't really use the drive-thru that often. I'm kind of old school, and I don't do online banking. I like going to the bank. And it said, like the rest of the world, we are short-staffed. The drive-thru is closed. Please go to our lobby. I drive around. I park my car. I go to the lobby. It's locked. The bank is closed at 2:30 in the afternoon. There was no explanation. It just said closed. And this is a regional banking chain. I love them. I get the surveys all the time. Their service is stupendous. I have no idea what happened. I don't know if a neutron bomb went off. I don't know if COVID swept through there. But I don't know what's happening with this hiring stuff. It's insane. Everywhere you go, it has a sign looking for help. And that just certainly is putting a damper on the holiday spirit. When you can't even buy something, or you can't even do a banking transaction, it's disappointing. Not to mention the other things we're dealing with. I mean, gas prices. And, you know, I was somewhat reassured by the president. I don't know if he was in Pennsylvania the other day or what, but this clip astounds me that, you know, I hate to do the what if Trump and what if this was Trump kind of thing. But I mean, of all these malapropisms and stutterings and stuff, this is just, you can't even get the main point you want to get out about what the price of gas is right now. You're at an event to talk about the fact that, or claim that gas prices went down a couple cents, and you're touting that. And I think we got that clip.
The average price you're paying here in Kansas City is below $2 a gallon, $3 a gallon. It's down to $2.90 a gallon, 20% down from cents from a month ago.
I mean, I'll make an admission here. I don't like to brag about this, but I was a horrible student in math. Junior year high school, they sat me down halfway through. They said, you're having a hard time. I was an upper standard. There was advanced, upper standard, and standard. And they said, we're going to move you down to standard. I was like a C-minus student. I was struggling. They put me in standard. I became a D student because I wasn't, I don't think the teacher was as much of a motivator as my upper standard. And I want to thank that teacher, Mrs. T. Later on, by the way, that same bank that I went into 2 days ago that was closed, she became a teller there after she retired as a teacher. And I used to go in with my deposit slips and say, hey, Mrs. T, how's my math today? You know, but, you know, I understand how to convey a sentence about the difference in the gas price that went down a couple cents. I mean, that just astounds me that, but this has become the norm. And I want to thank Howie. I don't know how you guys, what the heck were these Tom Menino clips that we heard in the open?
Oh, yeah. So for those listening online or watching the camera, they get what we call the loop, which are just kind of clips we put together of funny stuff people have said or sort of best of Howie clips like that. So we're running some old Mumbles Menino bits that Howie did on the loop.
So I used to enjoy those segments. I have a couple funny Tom Menino stories. Maybe we'll share them at another time. For what he lacked in his elocution, he made up for in his memory.
Why would you go Miami? Hot summer? Wow.
So I think Biden is fast approaching Meninoville, okay? We're going to go for a break here in a minute. But when we come back, I'm going to relate real one. Before we get to some calls on another subject, I'm going to give you one quick Menino anecdote that relates to me and the Howie Carr Show when we come back here on the Grace Curley Show. Stay with us.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Okay, we are back. Bob Hedlund in for Grace Curley, and I really didn't want to talk over that bumper. We're on a roll in there today, guys, the Zoo by the Scorpions. And I posted on Facebook on my page last night that I would be in today for Grace. I threw out the question, what topics would you like me to cover? One guy said, discuss the merits of what the best fried chicken is. And I mentioned that as a joke to the staff when I came in, and they thought it was a great idea. I don't think that would go over too well with... the upper management of the Howie Carr Radio Network. So we're going to not get into the best fried chicken. They're actually, one of the best fried chicken spots around used to be around the corner here on the Mass Pike, Roy Rogers. Unfortunately, they lost their concession, but that was the best. You guys took me down memory lane with the Menino stuff before the break. And
now
I mentioned
I've been coming from western western part of the state, say out in Newton, that area.
This is going to go off the rails real soon, guys. But just one quick Menino story. I have a really good one. I can't tell it. It's a little too long. Someday, I hope. But I was doing some radio on the South Shore, and I got a call from a Howie Carr producer one day. And he said, hey, we got something that we think you'd really like for your show. And he sent me an audio clip. And that afternoon, or that morning, Mayor Menino was at a ribbon cutting somewhere in Roxbury. And obviously, I was not there. I represented a district on the South Shore. And he got up to the microphone, and he started out and said, I want to thank Senator Hedlund. And I guess there were a lot of confused looks amongst the audience and up at the podium. And anyway, I got the audio clip, and we used it on the show a lot. And I was puzzled for a long time as to why he would have done that. I mean, why I would have been on his mind. And we did a little digging, and I guess there was a reference to me in a Herald article that morning. So he must have been reading the Herald and saw the name, and it went into the memory bank, and he confused me for someone, and I never did figure out who I was confused with. I'm not sure if it was Senator Diane Wilkerson. Could have been, but that's unlikely.
Names.
What's that?
Very similar names.
Well, she's a woman of color and a woman. I mean, I was obviously with your intro today, you confused me with Grace because you couldn't update that intro, but whatever. So anyway, we went on a little rant here. We got off the rails. We're talking about some of the grievances and does it feel like Christmas. In the third hour, we definitely want to get into a discussion about that. But one thing that jumped off the page is for me this morning, being a music guy. Oh, I got to back up. Just one last thing. As I said, there's been a bit of a time since I've been on radio. So if my timing's off, guys, I apologize. I feel like Bill Veeck bringing Satchel Paige. I feel like Satchel Paige and Bill Veeck bringing Satchel Paige out of retirement to pitch for, I think it was the Cleveland Browns. He owned the White Sox later, but I think it was the Browns. I'm not sure. But Satchel Paige was like, 50 or 60 or something.
You know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros into the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige.
I feel like Satchel Paige. Old guy that hasn't pitched in a while, old guy that hasn't been on radio in a while. But anyway, glad to be here for Grace. Hope she's having a great time. We'll get more into the grievances, and we're going to want to take your calls in the third hour. What's bugging you these days? I guess that Festivus thing. And I don't really know much about that because I wasn't a Seinfeld watcher. But we do have an expert that's going to join us about Seinfeld to kind of set the tone for that in the third hour. What jumped off the pages for me this morning, and this could be heresy here in the Howie Carr Radio Network, if I tell you that I'm actually a Bruce Springsteen fan, okay? He's like, I got to say this. He's like, for me, he's like Mellencamp. He's like Seeger. I recognize his songwriting prowess. I recognize they are all icons, okay? American songwriting musical icons. I know most of the listeners don't like his politics. I don't like his politics. I don't want to pay huge money to go to a concert and hear a rant by Bono or hear a rant by Springsteen. But I recognize his songwriting genius. But I want to qualify this and say, sometimes I go to a show and see him. I've seen him probably 5-6 times. It's great. It depends on the set list. He's got stuff I love, and he's got stuff I don't want to hear. I paid big money to see him at Fenway one time, and he did a 15-minute cover of Twist and Shout by the Beatles. Here you are with the deepest catalog, probably of any American songwriter that I can think of. Why do you have to do a 15-minute version of a Beatles song when you've got such great stuff that people want to hear that you wrote? And he probably had to pay royalties, right? If you're doing someone else's music, right? Right? But he's got this huge catalog, and he has just sold that catalog to Sony Music for about $500 million. Now, a lot of the details. That's one hell of an advance. And it's the biggest advance, the biggest sale of publishing rights that any musician has gotten to date. And I'm not sure if anyone will top that anytime soon. Dylan got what, like $300 million. Springsteen's clocking in at $500 million. Amazing. But he's got a great catalog. Now, his Mr. Preach to You, and I wonder what the controls are. I wonder if Sony has limitations on what they can then do with that publishing rights in this deal. Because we know that there's been different politicians that have used, and I might get in trouble here because I'm one of those politicians. I used No Surrender by Springsteen as my entry music at speeches I gave. And you've got, I think Trump used something and got in trouble. Springsteen didn't want him doing it. Others have. I think George Bush used something of Springsteen. Reagan was using Born in the USA, remember? And, they shut Reagan down on that. And he torched Reagan over that. So I don't know what limitations there are. But we're going to get into this a little bit when we come back from this break. So stay with us here. Bob Hedlund in for Grace Hawley. Break. Curly, Grace Curly.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Okay, we are back. It's Bob Hedlund in for Grace Curly. And here we are having a little fun at the expense of Tom Menino, a little fun at the expense of Joe Biden. And what do I do?
The knuckleheads have to, behave themselves also. I mean, I'm just...
Speaking of knuckleheads, right? So I throw out the wrong name for Grace, right? I got this mental block. And the reason for that is on my Twitter feed, I get a lot of feed from this other Grace. But that other Grace is kind of a moonbat, very liberal, progressive. I meant progressive. She would be upset if I think I called her a liberal and I threw the wrong name out. So I'm going to blame that on the concussion. I apologize for that.
You're fired.
You're fired. So speaking of half hour in, we haven't given out our call in line. It's 844-500-4242. You can jump in on the conversation. Cut me off here on this long monologue I'm on, but we're talking about Springsteen and, you know, I like him. But the question is, now that Springsteen has sold his publishing catalog to Sony for $500 million. Now, bear in mind, Springsteen's pretty darn well off before this transaction, right? Very, very well off. But the man of the people, you know, singing about Youngstown. And by the way, in his run on Broadway, he's been pretty candid that it's all BS. He said that, you know, he's just painting a picture and, you know, he doesn't live it, obviously. But I recognize his genius as a songwriter. My favorite songwriter of all time in rock and roll is a guy named Phil Mogg of UFO. And I've called him kind of the Bruce Springsteen of hard rock. Some of the UFO fans get very mad at me when I did that. But I think the boss is great. I don't share his politics. I don't like all of his catalog. Congratulations to him. Question is, what's he going to do with that money? He's been preaching. His favorite charity is food pantries. Do you think he's going to hand the $500 million to food pantries around the nation? Do you think that it's going to some kind of charity? He's a Democrat activist. You think he'll kick it out to some super PAC to finance Democrats? Or do you think he's been scheming leading up to this with accountants and lawyers and looking for tax shelters and ways to avoid a big hit? I don't know what the capital gains are on this or what have you, but do you think he's doing that? I think he is. I think he is. So the question is, Liz Warren has been back and forth with Elon Musk this week, tweeting away. We have government by Twitter nowadays, right? That's what we have. And criticizing Musk about paying his fair share and a rigged tax code. Do you think we're going to see any tweets from Elizabeth Warren this week criticizing Springsteen for this largesse and asking him to pay his fair share and talking about a rigged tax code? But no, because Bruce can't be canceled, right? The great thing about Musk is he can't be canceled either. He's too big to cancel. But I don't think the class warriors that like to beat up on millionaires and billionaires are going to take on Bruce because he's with them, right? He's part of that elite. They are not going to touch him. So it'll be interesting to watch this and see what is going to happen to that money if we ever learn. But I do agree with Elizabeth Warren on one thing. The tax code is rigged, and it's going to continue to be rigged until we take out deductions, take out loopholes. And I love Steve Forbes years ago, you know, talking about a flat tax. I'd love to see something like that. Everybody should give up something. I'd even, you know, take away the home deduction, home mortgage interest deduction. They did that in England. Didn't hurt home sales. I don't think they have it in Canada. You know, everybody give up something. I'm with Liz. It's a rigged system, but her cure all, it's further rigging it. It's further class warfare. It's further division. And she's been taking on Musk. And this has been fascinating to watch. We got Musk as our Time Man of the Year. And that's evolved into this little Twitter exchange with Elizabeth Warren. I think she's taken some cheap shots at him. He's firing back, somewhat juvenile. It's kind of the discourse we have nowadays in our political arena. I don't like it. We're seeing things dumbed down to this level. But back to Musk for a minute. A lot of complaining that he was Time's choice. And I know, I think Howie covered this a little bit before, but I personally think it's a great choice. If you look at some of the previous selections throughout history, we've got rogues, we've got people that it didn't make sense at all. A good example of that was last year. Does anyone recall who's last year, guys? You do know?
What, wasn't it Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the combo?
I thought it was just Kamala.
Oh, maybe it was.
I think it was just Kamala. You know, she broke the ceiling and all that baloney. Yeah. You know, based on based on class. It had nothing to do with, obviously, as we're seeing now, on competence. So I think you could make an argument that that maybe was a silly pick. There might have been more worthy people last year. Good grief. So I like the Musk pick. I think this guy, you know, he's been on the vanguard of this EV revolution, electric vehicle revolution. I don't particularly know a lot about electric vehicles. I grew up as a mechanic, owned a truck repair business. I've got a lot of diesel fumes still in my lungs. I never drove an electric vehicle until I became mayor. We got a few on a grant. I thought they were great. They performed well. Chevy Volt was incredible. And I think they discontinued that, unfortunately. But you give Musk credit. I mean, he's been on the vanguard of this. He's shooting rockets into space. He's got an incredible life story. He's got, you know, the ability to push back on people and not have to worry about getting canceled. And as you can see from the backup he's getting, a lot of people believe in his product and are pushing back on Elizabeth Warren. So I think that's great. And, you know, people talk about subsidies and this and that. But you know what? They're offering the subsidies. Why wouldn't a business person take that? And I understand he's paid back the loans that he's had. So I think he's doing a great job. I think his life story is fascinating. The question to you guys is, was there a better pick? I don't believe so. And I think that's going to be the... Is that going to be our poll question today? You want to tell us what the poll question is, Jared? Oh, you're going to give it to me. You're going to give it to me. So the poll question today is brought to you by the Fabrizia Lemon Baking Company. Delicious cookies, biscotti, lemon loaves, and more. Made in New England with award-winning Fabrizia Limoncello. You can visit them at lemonbakingcompany.com. And holiday boxes are now available for people like me that have not commenced their holiday shopping. So get out there and check it out. They're great. So the poll question.
Could Time have done better than Elon Musk in picking their person of the year?
Now, you guys have poll questions a lot that are landslides.
Yes. This one is not.
And then Howie, you know, says something and kind of tilts the scales.
Grace does that too.
Oh, Grace does it too, because they have their sycophant followers that can't think for themselves, those sheep. And they fall right in line with Howie and Grace, right? I don't know how many sycophants I have out there, but I'm down with the question. So this is kind of a reverse. Again, give us the question again, because I'm the no on this. This is confusing.
Could Time have done better than Elon Musk in picking their person of the year?
I say no, they couldn't have done better. Everyone can always do better, but for Time's, by Time's standards, no. So... You can weigh in on the poll question on the 60% line.
60% of the audience is with you that no, they could not have done better than Elon Musk.
Now, did those votes come in prior to me announcing my position?
I don't have that information available.
Okay, so maybe I have a couple of followers, but
the next hour when we do the poll question, that'll be the real tell.
Okay, well, I'm with Musk, and we want to know what you think, and you can call in and make the argument on this one. 844-500-4242, did Time make the right call? And when I talk about, I mean, by their standards, right? Some of the folks in the past have been great. And they came out of the gate great on this, right? Their first one was Charles Lindbergh. I mean, a true, you know, pace setter, first transatlantic flight, patriot. I know that they're trying to cancel him a little bit right now too. Walter Chrysler, really incredible. If you saw, I think the History Channel stuff on Chrysler was phenomenal. I mean, that guy just well-deserving. Owen Young, don't even know who he was. You know, he authored the Young Plan. It was a settlement for German reparations after World War I. That's kind of an obscure one, but worthy. We've got folks like Gandhi, Roosevelt, et cetera. Haile Selassie, pretty incredible one, you know. I mean, he engineered, you know, battles with the Italians. He had Ethiopians with spears. Meanwhile, Italians are dropping gas on them, mustard gas or whatever gas they were using then. A lot of good picks. Apollo 8 astronauts, Willy Brandt, Richard Nixon. You got some in there questionable. Henry Kissinger, I'm not a big fan. You had Ronald Reagan in there. That was great. Lech Walesa. So they've had a pretty good run. 1988, the endangered Earth, right? 88. Where would that put us now? I mean, if the Earth made the cut in 88, where would it be now? right? So you could argue that that might have been a more appropriate pick than Elon Musk. Bill Clinton, Ken Starr. I mean, Clinton followed up by Ken Starr. Pretty amazing stuff there. 1999, Jeff Bezos, huh? I mean, Musk is kind of like out of that mold, right? Out of that same mold. Giuliani, he's pretty much canceled now, right? I don't know about that
surprised
one.
Surprised that was allowed to live on the internet, that he was the man of the year.
You know, he stepped up after 9/11, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you absolutely. Know, I've posted about that a lot, that the 9/11 Rudy really endeared me to him forever, regardless of whatever. I just endeared me to him.
I've met him, you know, and seemed like a nice guy, but I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, the giving us a limited and out of context clip sometimes when I see him on TV, but lately I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? But you got to give him props the way he ran New York. So in some ways, history is making him look good. Some ways, it's not so good. But if you look at the way New York is running now, Rudy Giuliani's looking pretty good. So you got a lot of obscure ones. But Biden, I think, did Biden precede? Or maybe it was joint. You're right. I'm not sure if it was joint or not. But anyway, I think Musk was good. 844-500-4242. If you want to weigh in on that. So this Twitter spat between Elizabeth Warren, Joe Battenfeld's got a great piece in the Herald today on it, kind of summarizes everything, the back and forth. But, you know, this Elizabeth Warren class warfare shtick is kind of getting old for me. And, you know, this plays right into the playbook that she uses where you've got a guy with money, he's in the news, so let's take a shot at him. You know, she talks about she's like to dismantle tax loopholes for the mega rich with an ultra millionaire tax. Her 2% wealth tax on people worth $50 million or more would target the nation's wealthiest. It's estimated to generate $3 trillion over the next 10 years. But we know what happens when we put a tax like this in place. The bar is lowered. How do you define rich? That changes, just like our income tax that was to be temporary. It only impacted a fraction of the people and was to be sunsetted. And it's with us to this day, obviously, and brackets keep changing left and right. Same thing can happen with the millionaire's tax. And as we see inflation, as we see wages rise, you know, we're probably all going to be millionaires soon. The inflation rate keeps going the way it is, and we counter that with wages. And by the way, politicians love inflation. They love inflation, right? Print money, use it to buy votes. Use it to engage in spending and social programs and earmarks and capital projects to make you look good and drive up inflation. But it robs the middle class of their savings and wages. But we're going to get back to this in a minute. We're going to take a break and join us at 844-500-4242 if you'd like to weigh in on good pick, bad pick, Elon Musk. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. He's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
There I was completely wasting, out of work.
We are back. Bob Hedlund in for Grace Curley, who's living it up at a wedding or something, right? Hope she's having fun. Glad you're with us. We're having a little fun talking about Time's pick and this Twitter spat between Elon Musk. I see Fox is talking about it right now up on the screen. Between Elizabeth Warren and Elon Musk, and we're talking about whether or not, and it coincides with our poll question of the day, do you think this was a worthy pick? So the poll question is kind of an inverse, though. Give it to us one more time, because I'm confusing myself even with it.
Could Time have done better than Elon Musk in picking their person of the year?
And of course, I say no, because I think it was a good pick, and I think it's right in line with a lot of the good picks that Time has made in the past. Time's explanation of this when something like in 2021, Musk emerged, not just as the world's richest person, that in and of itself would warrant, I think, placement, but also as perhaps the richest example of a massive shift in our society. And I think that's really appropriate. I think that hits the nail on the head. I mean, the guy that has pioneered so many inventions, the guy whose life story is amazing. They go on to describe him as the man who aspires to save our planet and get us a new one to inhabit. Clown, genius, edgelord, visionary, industrialist, showman, cad, a madcap hybrid of Thomas Edison, P.T. Barnum, Andrew Carnegie, and Watchmen's Dr. Manhattan. The brooding blue-skinned man-god who invents electric cars and moves to Mars. His startup rocket company, SpaceX, has leapfrogged Boeing and others to own America's spacefaring future. And don't forget, Tesla, I mean, this is talk about a shift in the economy. Tesla's market cap, what, greater than GM, greater than Ford. As a non-savvy stock market observer, I don't get that. I really don't get that. But people believe in him, and that's evidenced by the stock price. People believe in him based on the amount of Teslas you see on the road. I have some liberal friends that have bought Teslas. You know, a lot of people I think Howie makes fun of certain people who drive Priuses, right? A lot of liberal friends of mine have bought and believe in electric vehicles, have bought and made the shift over and bought Teslas. I wonder how they feel, right? I think they're with Musk on this, right? They believe in the product. Everyone I know that has a Tesla loves it. So I think she bit off more than she can chew on this one. I think Time made the right call. We want to know what you think. And we got a guy weighing in from Manchester. What's that? Oh, we're out of time, Zebra. I apologize. But maybe he voted in the poll question and can tell us where he was on that. And I really want to talk to a guy with the name Zebra. We'll be back.